This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Let's go! Welcome in, Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, August the 4th. For some of you, this will mean first day of school. My thoughts and prayers are with you all. Best of luck. I went to Target yesterday afternoon, and it hit me. Oh, damn. Bad time. Bad time to do this because it was a madhouse yesterday. Forgot it was the first day of school today for some, not all. But either way, you know, it's just another day at the office for us here at 92.9 FM ESPN. I do want to congratulate you if you've made it this far. You have officially made it through the last Sunday without NFL football until February. That is a fact. That is a stone cold fact. Now, we'll get to this in just a minute. It'll be preseason for the next 3 weeks, but preseason matters. All games matter. And so we will talk about that today here on the show. Brad Carson is here. Nice to have you back, Brad.
Thank you.
Jason is out for the week. Yep. With his vacation. And, you know, this is a week for the Warriors. This is a week that some may say is one of the toughest in the sports calendar, and only the strong survive. I mean, that's just the truth.
Yeah. So you guys do a great job. I appreciate you as the program director. I appreciate you guys doing the alternating thing.
That's right.
You're doing us a solid.
That's right.
But you get a better show as a result, I would like to think.
Yeah, I will be gone next week. Yep.
Better show, though, with one of y'all.
Oh, I definitely think that's true. Now, look, I think our fill-ins are as good as it gets.
They are. Cerrito, and you got Drew in here earlier. I mean, these guys are, they're, and, you know, the one thing I will say, one of the benefits of the guest host is that everything is fresh to you. As opposed
very
to,
true.
like we're in it, right?
And, oh, and yeah, we, every day.
You know, you're doing 200, you're doing 200 out of 352, you know.
That's right.
So, you know, 365, you're doing 200.
That's right.
It is, we try to make it fresh. I think we do. I think we're the best
well,
at it.
Well, I will say, you know, that 200 will go down to 199 next year officially as there is no MLK Day game.
Ah, that's
so
right.
Maybe we're just going to be that much fresher. Now, I think we did get off the last MLK game.
You guys will be off for MLK here, even though the Grizzlies and the NBA will not will be in a different country traveling.
Yeah.
For MLB MLK Day, we will be reflecting
and exploring.
That's
right. And you know, watching them play in Europe.
Right. Or I guess they play, what, is it like Sunday? And then the reason why they're not doing it, because it's the 8th, and I guess the 9th is the travel day, so they're not able to do it, actually.
Yeah, so the MLK Day 2026 is January 19th. I think they play the 15th and the 18th.
I gotcha. So they're around there, right there.
Yeah, so they will not be playing on. They'll be playing around. But obviously, they would be traveling back from Europe. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that, you know, they get a couple of days off because of that travel. So anyway, yes, we are here today on the show. And I'm excited to say that we're going to be joined by Anthony Rice, former Memphis Tiger. I was made aware of a situation with him last week. I think I actually saw Antonio Burke's post about it on Facebook. But it was a GoFundMe for Anthony Rice. And again, I didn't know. Anthony Rice is one of those guys who, you know, when I was coming up and, you know, the first Memphis basketball teams I remember watching, I mean, Anthony Rice, Antonio Burke, those guys were big parts of it. I mean, Anthony Rice started over 100 games for Memphis in his career. I think he's one of the most underappreciated Tigers ever. And he was just kind of living his life. He had been a Harlem Globetrotter. He had moved on from basketball and was an art teacher, was an AT&T wire technician.
Wow.
You know, was just working jobs. And, you know, he had children. And what began as a routine visit to the doctor for leg pain a couple of years ago ultimately wound up with him being diagnosed with a condition called interstitial lung disease. which is a progressive incurable condition that causes permanent scarring of the lungs, making it extremely difficult to breathe or exert physical energy. As a result, he now requires 18 hours of oxygen support, and even minor activity causes his oxygen levels to drop and his heart rate to spike. He cannot work. He is medically unfit for employment, according to doctors, and he is now living at his mother's home with no permanent residence or transportation. And there is a GoFundMe that I have posted on my Twitter account, and I would encourage you that if you can help and if you're inclined to help, please do so. But Anthony is going to join us in the next segment. And, you know, again, this is a guy that I grew up watching and I grew up on. And so to hear, you know, the difficulties that he is facing day in and day out, you know, I just think it's all, you know, awareness, anything I can do to kind of help, because, you know, I kind of feel like that's my responsibility. So we'll catch up with Anthony and just talk about it. And see how we can help. So he is going to join us in the very next segment. Looking forward to that. And then Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. Good to be here. We didn't have any preseason football over the weekend. We had the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
But that is all about to change. Let's do a little thing, Brad. It's a segment we started many, many years ago.
Back in the day.
But we still do it. Mm-hmm. It is not WTF.
No, that was one of them we tried.
It is not Jason Smith Goes to the Hood.
I enjoyed that. That was a good bit.
It was a bit that needed to be one episode and then be retired. It's like it's like Allen Iverson with the Grizzlies. You know,
liked you guys trying it.
You just put it in the rafters and you know,
hang a banner for it.
That's right. It's called Cap or No Cap. Let's do it.
Cap. It means lion, but built different. Now it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Yeah, I was going to say the only major sporting event that I paid attention to over the weekend of real significance was what Major League Baseball tried to do, which was this debacle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll chat about it throughout the show and throughout the day.
They did play that game, though, right?
They played finished it yesterday, postponed it a day. And it is, and I think widely the internet got this one right by pegging it as the fire fest of Major League Baseball, because it was a turd sandwich.
Yeah.
And you can imagine. So I did, well, we'll get into that later, but I am excited about football. Preseason football counts. Is that cap or no cap?
It's absolutely no cap. It counts every which way. I mean, even though it's not going to be, I mean, look, it will vary. Some games will feature some starters and others will not.
Right.
You know, I would encourage you to, you know, read the news and seek out some news if you'd like to know who those teams are. But for example, Cincinnati has said they're going to play Joe Burrow in the preseason more than they have in the past because they've been getting off to these slow starts every single season. So they feel like they need to get Joe Burrow more reps in the preseason. I like watching Joe Burrow. You like watching Joe Burrow?
You have to. I wouldn't watch him without Joe Burrow.
Right. So you're going to get him in the preseason.
All right.
How about that? Can I interest you in a starting quarterback competition in Indianapolis between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson?
I'm into that. I am in for that.
That sounds. I mean, those are two real NFL quarterbacks, right?
Those are starting caliber.
And then look, it's going to vary. Like the Falcons are not going to play Michael Penix, so you know you can sort of skip that. The Titans probably are not going to play a bunch of Cam Ward. But I think you're going to see like some Drake May in New England. I think you're going to see, you know, it just depends on the team. But, you know, I would just say this. My portfolio is already booming for this week.
You're on the gambling side?
Oh, 100%. You got Pete Carroll going back home to Seattle. First game of preseason.
Raiders are
Thursday.
In Seattle.
Thursday.
Oh.
Yeah, Geno Smith going back to Seattle.
Okay.
That's right.
You've researched this.
I mean, I would not be doing my job if I had
not. That's fair.
In both all my jobs,
fair,
right?
Fair, yes.
So yes,
gambling as well.
Oh, totally. I consider that a job.
Okay,
absolutely. But you know, it's always been so good to me that one actually can help the other. I've always looked.
No,
at it
I
that
think
way.
It's like, you know, all of your jobs are.
Yeah.
They speak in unison.
Yeah, like what's the like, you know, like symbiotic relationship?
That symbiotic is exactly right.
And so, you know, I enjoy that piece of it.
I like that about you.
But yeah, I think preseason absolutely counts. I think we're going to see a little bit of J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. We haven't seen him in a year. He's the presumptive starter there in Minnesota. So, yeah, I think preseason absolutely counts. People love to take a dump on it because it's, oh, don't tell me about preseason football. I mean, bro, I'm telling you, we've been NFL starved for, what, 6 months?
Yep.
I mean, we haven't had anything. This isn't the UFL. Right. All right, you're not going to get. Although I do think
far from it, by the way,
there is a Memphis Showboat quarterback out there.
Really?
On a roster.
Who is that? I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, I know. Oh, I know who it is.
Okay.
The one, the only.
It's not Brady White.
No, it is not Brady White.
No.
And I will say he is a fourth stringer, so he is hanging by a fingernail.
He's in there.
But it is the one and only Dresser Wynn.
Dresser Wynn. Of course, Dresser Wynn.
Let me tell you a little bit about Dresser Wynn.
Go ahead.
He grew up in Dresden, Tennessee, not too far from here. Right?
Of course he did.
He went to UT Martin. He was undrafted 2 years ago.
Okay.
And this is his third stint with the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh, it sounds like Dresden.
Yeah. So, after the war.
Right.
After the war. Right. So, no, this is, honestly, there's a Memphis Showboat that's going to get game action. I mean, what's better than that? We love the Showboats.
This dude played for 6 years at Martin.
I mean,
I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, not to get into the weeds on our UT guy here, UT Martin guy.
Yeah.
They let him, he had 6 years of eligibility somehow.
That's right. He only played one real year. I guess maybe two. He started 2 years, it looks like, perhaps. He was 1-6 in 2018, then he was 7-4 in 2022. But there were a lot of weird years in there where he didn't start. I don't know what was going on with UT, and I don't know why he was still there. It's a mystery, really.
He didn't move on.
I think between the UT Martin stint and the third Ram stint, it's just like when you meet him, you just can't get away from him.
Right.
You know, he just kind of sicks into your blood like a tick.
Yeah. And he's a former boat.
Former boat. I mean, what's better than that? So, yeah, I will say preseason counts. Some games will be more exciting than others.
Yeah.
Look, we're not going to have a Sunday without NFL football for the next 6 months.
Well, and so. I think that I would say no cap because as a sports fan, like these games, first of all, you talked about the UFL. I know we sort of hype up our Memphis Showboats and what they did. And by the way, it's still in question because I had emails like it's not official that they're leaving. So I don't even know if they're staying or going. But I can tell you that preseason football, 20 times better than a regular season UFL game.
Oh, my God. That's not even
right?
Because at least the production, right? The production with, an NFL game.
The ability to throw the ball.
Superior.
Like,
that.
Stuff.
Yes. 100%.
Defend.
Anything.
Block.
Anything at all.
Right? Okay.
So, yes. We absolutely are excited about preseason. It's real football, and that's the way it goes.
All right, WNBA here. The WNBA takes itself too seriously, John. Is that cap or no cap?
That is also no cap. Mm. Look, I watched a lot of WNBA over the weekend. I do. I check into WNBA quite a bit. It's not just me saying that. I do like to watch basketball. It's the only basketball on right now, and I enjoy it. I enjoy some of the personalities. There's no Caitlin Clark right now.
Yep.
I'm still managing to consume the product. It's incredible. But there, as you know, there were two incidents, in a couple of different games where there were two green unidentified flying objects flung onto the court.
This is last week.
Before I left,
I think I heard about this. You reported on this a lot.
And then it happened again.
A fake dangling on the floor?
Also green.
What? They sell green ones?
I guess. I mean, again, I've never been a
user
patron of those, but it appears as though they are for sale.
Okay.
But you know, the first one was against the Dream and Golden State Valkyries game on Tuesday, and we couldn't see who it was, but he got arrested.
Oh boy!
Now look, you shouldn't be throwing stuff on the court. All right, like just generally speaking, you shouldn't be throwing like whether it's drinks because we know that's how Mouse of the Palace got started, right?
Yes,
I don't know what they would call this one with the ding-a-ling.
Pee on the palace, maybe.
I don't know. I don't know where
a Peter on the palace.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll workshop it and see if we can come
up with
a name.
ChatGPT says
probably going to be tough to top Mouse of the Palace.
That's a good one.
With that being said, do we really think that the person should have been arrested for throwing a rubber?
I don't think you should get arrested for the phallus on the floor.
I don't... phallus at the palace?
Yeah. Phallus. You should not be arrested for the phallus at the palace. Look, that guy who was getting into it with... who is it? Like Westbrook got into it, that guy in Utah. I don't think... He just got bounced. I don't think they arrested the guy. He did get banned from the arena. I hope they didn't ban this person because of the phallus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got arrested, so he...
Yeah, so they're probably banning him, too. Banned. I'm sure he'll get banned. Yeah, that means arrested, I guess. Banned.
quote, the safety and well-being, this is what the league said.
Yeah.
The safety and well-being of everyone in our arenas is a top priority for our league. Objects of any kind thrown on the court or in the seating area can pose a safety risk for players, game officials, and fans.
They don't want anything on the floor, so even if it's phallic or not.
In line with WNBA arena security standards, any fan who intentionally throws an object onto the court will be immediately ejected and face a minimum 1-year ban in addition to being subject to arrest and prosecution by local authorities.
Ejected, so, actually, in this
so,
case.
Yes.
Right.
Look, there is a fine line because, you know, you don't want to just sit there and allow it.
No.
You know, because it could easily go from that to something more sinister or whatever the case
Weapons.
May be. But it's like, man, y'all got to, like, one thing the WNBA just does not do is they never lean into the funny.
It doesn't feel fun.
Yeah, like they could make light of this. They could post memes about this.
Yeah.
They could, again, not to encourage, you know, again, that's why I'm saying there is a fine line between the two. But to come down so heavy-handed on what is just objectively funny, like if a WNBA player got hit in the head with it, it would still be funny,
right?
But that's different. Okay?
As long as it's not a concussion, it'd be okay.
Well, I don't think you should be aiming at players. I think that should be off the limits because we would not say you should be able to hit a man with that.
That's fair.
In the NBA,
I take that back. Don't do that.
But if it hits the floor harmlessly,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I think we can laugh about it.
I think so.
And that's what the WNBA just will not do. Right. They will never laugh at themselves. And I just think it's really important to be able to do that in life.
Yep.
Like any person, like you should never, ever, 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 ever take yourself too seriously in anything that you do. You know, I had to learn that in this business. I'm like, dude, whatever. You think what you think about me, you send a tweet at me, I don't care. You know, me and Jeff were talking about it like last week, you know, because we're coworkers and
sure.
Coworkers are good to each other.
We swap stories. Yeah.
And I don't mind ever pulling back the curtain. Mm-hmm. And Jeff's like, man, you know, what am I going to talk about tomorrow? I'm like, bro, do the show.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Go enjoy it.
Don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
It's a radio show in August. I don't think the Marconi's expecting, you know.
Well, I think we win Marconi's based on and the August that y'all
well,
do.
Well, we haven't
you guys,
won one yet.
Well, okay, our nominations.
See, this is what happens to history. It gets rewritten.
We've been nominated too many damn times.
I think if you're nominated 3 years in a row, that is an effective win.
I thought it was, but like, yeah. You know, I was just happy to be nominated. I'd like us to win one.
That was literally, I mean, that's how Memphis feels with the Big 12.
It's so Memphis of us who have not won
that's right.
one,
we
actually.
Keep getting right there,
like,
and then the football gets
played. It's like the Elite Eight, you know, Final Four, yeah. Final game, and then, like, we can't hit our free throws.
We keep trying to kick the football. We keep winding up. We keep going for it. We just whiff every
yeah.
time.
Yeah. I do think the WNBA, and I think that is no cap, they do take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Did you see the news that this is some other news from the WNBA that I heard over the weekend that this Celtics minority owner bought Connecticut for $325 million, which is almost as much as Robert Parra bought the Grizzlies for back in 12.
Now, that is amazing. That is amazing.
And they're probably going to move to Boston now. So Boston will be getting themselves a WNBA.
Well, and it does kind of show you where that league's valuation is going.
Yeah.
Nobody out here is spending $325 million on a WNBA team if they don't expect the value, you know, to go up substantially.
And they want them to go to Boston so they can make some real money. No disrespect to
Connecticut.
Yeah,
of course. You know? Yeah, I mean, they play at like Mohegan and
stuff. Right, they're out there at the casino.
Yeah, yeah no, they'll definitely, you know, and they'll make money on that. But yeah, it is crazy to think that that's what the Grizzlies went for only, what, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
14 years ago?
13 years ago, the Grizzlies sold approximately about the same as the Connecticut WNBA team just sold for to and they'll move them to Boston. But I when I hear stories about the WNBA, I don't hear fun stories, though. You hear everybody's pissed off at Caitlin Clark because she didn't put on a shirt that says "You owe us," or why does everybody talk about Caitlin Clark? I will say I do agree with the premise that keeps probably being pointed out too much, which is that she has made. I didn't spend as much attention until Caitlin Clark. Now, having said that, it doesn't seem like she's just this wizard player that everybody thought she would be,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, she's got flaws in her game. She's not
perfect. She does. Yeah, everybody's flawed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Grizz are worth $3.2 billion, and that's the least valuable franchise in the league, by the way.
That's crazy.
$3.2 billion, and they were purchased for, what was it?
$355, I think, back in 12. It said, $377, I'm sorry. $377 is what Parra paid for it in 12.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good investment.
Holy crap.
That is outpacing inflation just by a tick.
Well, and unfortunately, they're worth more someplace else. I'm not saying that proudly. That's factual, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why everybody gets so nervous about this thing. So.
But no, I would definitely say that the WNBA would do well to just relax a bit. I'm not even saying that because it's women. Okay, right, let me just say that outright. Mm-hmm. I just think that it would help the league and the perception of the league if they just leaned into, because the players on the floor were laughing at it, right? Now, when it happens again, it's less funny.
You think it was the same person? Probably not.
I doubt it.
I doubt it was the same dingling thrower.
I think it was two different places. But, you know, it's a copycat deal.
Yeah.
But I would just say, you know, it's okay to laugh every now and then and not take it so seriously. You know, and I think it would help your fam. And then, I mean, whether it's like, you know, because it's all sort of symptomatic of, like, this Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Every time Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese play a basketball game, it's like critical race theory.
Right.
You know, that's
let's
what
pair up the black woman against the white woman.
That's what it becomes. Like, right. And I think some of that is, you know, some of that is just fans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember there was a writer, Christine Brennan, who is writing a book about Caitlin Clark. And so she's asked players about Caitlin Clark. And they've gotten so angry about those questions that they have basically moved to revoke her credential.
Wow.
I mean, the WNBA Players Association has, like, named her and gone after her, you know, for, and this is a, you know, this is a veteran journalist, Christine Brennan. She's been around for everything. And, you know, the WNBA PA just going after her. There was a story where there was a longtime WNBA official who was talking about that story specifically, going after Brennan, saying that our players just don't get it. It's a league that takes itself just way too seriously, whether it's about this story, whether it's about other stories. You know, I enjoy the product. I would enjoy it a lot more if everybody could just breathe, you know. And I get the issue with the WNBA, I don't even mean issue, but it's like it's a melting pot of sort of all of this generation's, you know, hot button issues, right?
Yes.
It's homosexuality or sexuality generally.
Yes, yes.
It's race.
Yes.
It's pay gap, pay inequity. So I understand it. It's literally this cauldron of all those things, right?
Yes.
But I don't want to do a, you know, sociology, socioeconomic dissertation every time I watch a 40-minute basketball game.
I agree with you. I will say I think all sports has this problem, particularly baseball. Baseball is one of the worst at taking itself too seriously. They throw a ball at each other if they think you're disrespecting the other team. Like, there's these unspoken rules. Like, John Smoltz was going on talking about baseball. He's like, it's sad when we have to take a position player out and pitch them instead of a pitcher because the team is getting blown. You know, like, there's all these unspoken baseball rules, which is why I think the Savannah Bananas have taken off for kids, because it's fun. It's fun. There's a guy on stilts throwing a baseball. So I think, likewise, the WNBA has that. NFL doesn't have to worry about it because the product is so good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
NBA, I think, is similar. The product is pretty damn good when you watch an NBA game.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But, you know, WNBA is in a little tough spot, right? Because it's you know, you're not high above the rim. You know, you get a ding-a-ling on the court. So, yeah, they probably do take themselves a little too seriously. Let's go to American tennis.
Let's actually take a break.
Oh, you want to do that next?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's save that. You know,
you got
we got 3 hours.
We'll coming up later.
Yeah, so we'll save that. And then we're going to come back with Anthony Rice, and we're going to catch up with him and talk to him about, you know, daily life and, you know, his condition and learn about it and just catch up with him and see what he's been up to. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm Turner FM, ESPN. Anthony Rice is a guy that I grew up watching and loving to watch. Started over 100 games at the University of Memphis and was a really critical part of the early John Calipari years. And he's kind of come into a bit of a tough situation, and I'm excited to have him on the show to talk about it all. Anthony, what's going on, man? Appreciate the time as always. How are you?
How is going, everybody? Good afternoon. It's afternoon on this side of town, but appreciate you having me on, man. It's an honor and a pleasure.
So I want to talk to you about your Memphis career and just sort of your, because you're not a guy that, you know, we hear a lot from here in Memphis, and that's a shame, and so that's why I'm glad to have you on for that reason. But also, I came across sort of what you're dealing with. I saw, of all people, a former teammate of yours, Antonio Burks. He posted your GoFundMe link, your fundraiser, which I've put on my Twitter account. But can you just kind of tell the people, Anthony, what you're dealing with right now, and because you would be able to explain it much better than I could.
Right, right. It's basically, it's called interstitial lung disease. That's the terminology that they give it. But it's this severe obstruction of airways to your lungs, where you're kind of at a deficiency when it comes to ventilation efficiency, capacity of your lungs, how much volume your lungs can hold. So for an example, the average person is normally at about 97-98% oxygen saturation, and where I'm already at about 91-92%. And that's at rest. That's without moving at all. So you can imagine the difference once I start moving around, how fast it'll drop. So that's kind of to simplify it, the gist of it. But it's a severe scarring of the lungs that's irreversible, meaning this, it can't be repaired or anything like that. It's kind of like I have to deal with it. There's treatment, but there's no cure for it.
So you get diagnosed. I mean, are there early signs of it when you don't know? Yeah. Like, how did it kind of come about?
Yeah, it's. I mean, even the doctors that I went to, I've seen several specialist doctors, and they were just as shocked as me, because it kind of happened all of a sudden. It wasn't like a gradual thing. It just one day I started having shortness of breath, and it kind of progressed over time, with over the next couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden I woke up and was wheezing, like could not catch my breath at all. So it was a very aggressive progression of the shortness of breath, to the point where the oxygen wasn't helping. So it just kind of hit me. I have no previous conditions as far as health is concerned. I've never been hospitalized. So it was a shock to me and everybody else.
So were you working at the time?
Yeah, I had. At the time, I was. And I was having some issues with my leg. I actually went to the doctor for my leg. And all of a sudden, they checked. They did an x-ray of my chest. And first, they thought I had pneumonia, when that turned out to be false. Mm. And it just went from there.
So how do you, you're one of the, you know, best shooters that's come through the University of Memphis' history. You played over, 130 games. You're, an Iron Man. I mean, that was what they said about you when you played.
I appreciate it.
Is that you didn't miss games. And so to go from that physical magnificent ability to not having lung capacity and not being able to move, like, just psychologically, how has that?
Man, I'll tell you, this has probably been the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. And I've been through some tough situations, but this is by far the hardest, because I've, like you said, I've always been able to on the go and being active, and to be able to have that taken away from you without out of your control, there's not nothing you can do about it, makes it that much more difficult. I mean, it's extremely tough. But I just have to pace myself every day, one day at a time.
So I admittedly I've never even heard of the condition until I read your fundraiser's description.
Right.
So can you exercise at all?
I can do minimal exercise with oxygen on. I have an oxygen tank, and I also have what's called an oxygen concentrator. It's in home use. And it's a machine that runs constantly, and it creates its own oxygen. So I have to wear that 18 hours a day. And if I leave, I have the tank with me. Sorry if I'm silent. I get short of breath when I talk, so just bear with me sometimes.
No. You sound great, man. And I appreciate you doing this. I know it's not easy, but I just thought it was really important to get the word out as much as we can. So.
I can walk, but I cannot do any. I cannot run at all. Maybe 100 feet. If I go, I'll give you an example. If I walk 100 feet without this oxygen on, my oxygen level will drop significantly. So it'll be below, it'll drop below. I don't know how many nurses out there, but if any time your oxygen drops below 89, you're in trouble. So if I walk without oxygen for a long period of time, it'll be below, it'll be like 80, it'll be like 80, 79, which is not good.
Wow. I'm talking to Anthony Rice, former Memphis Tiger great. If you want to help, I have linked and I'll retweet the fundraiser at GoFundMe, because Anthony, correct me if I have this right, but you're unable to work as a result of the condition.
That's correct. Cannot do any type of physical, any physical exertion. I cannot. So I've been deemed unfit for work by my doctors.
So this is all to help Anthony just in his day to day with expenses and bills, and you've got a family.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
How many kids?
I have 4 kids. Yep.
And how?
A 16-year-old, 10, 7, and 5.
And how? Yeah. How instrumental just in your day to day have they been?
Oh man, they are the ones who keeping me going every day, keeping me sane. Staying positive, giving me something to look forward to, just to kind of keep my engine going mentally more so than anything else. Well, they're at this point, they're more so my motivation as to my why, as to why I get up every day and just keep pushing. You know what I mean? This is very important that I have them around me and have their support system. So definitely, sir.
Absolutely. We're talking to Anthony Rice, former Memphis Tiger here. Obviously started over 100 games at Memphis in the early 2000s. I want to talk to you about those times, if we can.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in many ways, you know, you helped lay the foundation for what I consider to be sort of the pinnacle, right? That those 2004-5 to 2009 years. Just take me back to, you know, when you think about your days at Memphis, like what memories pop up?
Well, you just said it, man. In my opinion, and I think you just can attest to it, I think we've kind of started to pave the way, should I say, on getting Memphis basketball back on the map towards being a team, a contender, a team that they talk about nationally. We kind of started that back up. You know, I came in with DeJuan Wagner and a lot of other people coming in, so we kind of turned the program, and started to turn that program around and kind of started building the foundation to where they are now. So, but man, those were the glory days for me. I miss those days.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of amazing to look back. I mean, you started 9 games as a freshman, but you played in 36.
Right.
And then you started 29 the year after, 30 the year after, 38 the year after that. I mean, you came in pretty much immediately, and you, even though you only started 9 games as a freshman, you played 23 minutes. What was it about what you brought to the table that forced Cal to play you that much?
And it's so funny you ask, because contrary to me actually coming in like that, where I came from, everybody kind of didn't know if I was going to either play or is he going to start. You know, you had another guard in my same position in front of you. You know, it's a lot of speculation on, well, why did I choose Memphis? So I just kind of wanted to prove everybody wrong. I kind of had my own little chip on my shoulder coming to Memphis that I kind of kept in turn, and I just used that as the fuel and motivation for myself. But, man, I've always been a hard worker. I always feel like I can outwork anybody. So that was my motivation, and mainly I just wanted to play. So I was willing to do any and everything and buy into whatever program that Coach Cal presented to us. So I was all in from day one without even prior to me meeting Coach Cal.
Do you still keep up with Cal? Or are you guys still on good terms?
Oh, yeah. We're in good communication.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know.
Coach Cal's always been a good guy to me, so he's more than just a coach to me. So, yeah, we definitely keep in touch.
That's one of the things, man, that that amazes me about him is that Burks randomly, like 2 years ago, because Burks is my guy too, he posted a screenshot of a text message. He didn't even have Cal's number somehow.
Right.
But Cal texted him and said, "Happy birthday." Like, you know, this is 25 years later. You know, Cal's still telling him happy birthday.
Coach Cal's he's a player's coach, man. He's a great mentor, and he's more than just your coach on the court. It's off the court as well. And in life after. So, kudos to Coach Cal for all that he's done for so many players, even after us. And he's still doing it. So, yeah.
When you came to Memphis, like when you committed to Memphis, like who was it down to? What got Memphis over the top? Like, take me back to the recruiting process of Anthony Rice back in the day.
Once I seen that Coach Cal showed interest in me, because I kind of knew his background, where he coached at UMass prior to him coaching in the NBA. So I knew I wanted to play for a coach that played in the NBA or coached in the NBA and had that experience, because ultimately that was the, you know, everybody wants to play in the NBA. So that was my goal. So once I knew that, I mean, that kind of took everybody else out of the race. I don't even think I took any of my visits after that.
Wow, just one visit.
Yes, sir.
And that was back before. I mean, I don't know. Did they have the Defense Center?
It was an unofficial visit. It wasn't even an official visit, and I can kind of make my mind up.
Wow. Did they have the Defense Center done yet back then?
Yeah, the fence was done. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's amazing. And then you know, it's hard to imagine a guy staying all 4 years these days. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new world.
Once the portal came, and that was pretty much it for them 4 years.
Did you ever even think about leaving? Like, was that ever even anything that occurred to you, or were you just 10 toes down the whole way?
I was playing. I was getting opportunities. So why would I be mad?
That's right.
You know?
Right. When you look at, you know, obviously it's Penny now leading the way. You know, and I know you're not necessarily, you know, from Memphis, but, you know, you wore the uniform for 4 years. You understand the importance of Penny. What do you think of, you know, a former player, you know, trying to get this thing back to, you know, the heights that, you know, you guys sort of helped get?
Yeah, I think it's great for the city, and I commend Coach Hardaway. We call him P, but Penny's trying to bring that fire back to the city and make that city known as a contender. You know what I mean? A lot of people overlook Memphis when it comes to NCAA tournament and don't really give us the respect that we deserve. So, but sometimes you just got to prove them wrong and go out there and show them. So I commend Penny for doing what he's doing and coming back to the city, giving back to the city.
Again, we're talking to Anthony Rice. If you want to help, I have tweeted out the link. I'll repost it here in just a few moments. It's a fundraiser for Anthony, who's dealing with a very rare, incurable condition called interstitial lung disease. He can't work. He's been deemed medically unfit to work, and this is just to help him in his day-to-day. Anthony, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on, and obviously it breaks my heart to see what you're going through, but you're one of the greats, man, and anything we could do on our end to help, you know, we're certainly happy to do that, man. So thank you for the time.
Means a lot, man. I really do appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Great talking to you guys.
Yes, sir. Anytime. He is Anthony Rice, former Memphis Tiger. Again, started over 100 games for the Tigers back in the early 2000s, and like you said, he's going through the toughest thing he's ever gone through in his life, and I can only imagine. I mean, he can't exercise.
That's awful.
But he can't exercise because he can't run. He has to, you know, he has to have the oxygen, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
on while he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's going to do anything.
Yeah. So. That's, I can only imagine being, you know, that high level an athlete and, you know, going from that, you know, I can still walk, I can still move, but yeah. I can't move that much and I can't, you know,
right.
I imagine you feel kind of like a prisoner in your own body.
I mean, it sounds even worse than what Deion's dealing with because you're not, you got this, I mean, at least Deion can, I mean, I guess it's a different version of that. You have to have a device on you at times. In his case, it's just, you know, it's your urinary tract situation. But in this one, your breathing situation as an athlete. What I have the hardest time with that story is that he went into the doctor for a leg situation randomly, mm-hmm. and then it turns into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's
sad, man. I appreciate it having it. So there's a GoFundMe. Anybody can just donate now. Help that dude out.
Yeah, let's beat the goal. The goal is 12K. We're at 8,300 right now. I've donated. I'm happy to donate.
Yep.
You know, I just all these guys that, you know, I mean, because, you know, 2001, 2002, I was 10, 11 years old, and this is like the first. I mean, I remember Anthony Rice being like a knockdown shooter, bro. He shot like 40% for his career back in the day when, like, it wasn't like that. You
Awful.
Know? In 2000, nobody was shooting threes that well, usually. So
I'm retweeting your post now. Donate now.
Thank you. I hope that, you know, we can do a small part and beat this goal. Because, look, let's be honest. I mean, the goal is 12,000. What's that going to do? I mean, that's not, you know, that's not going to, you know, change circumstances. But it's what we can do. Honestly, I would hope that, you know, for a former Tiger who's in need of our assistance here, you know, we could step up and do it. So appreciate Anthony Rice for joining us here on the show. We got a lot more to get to, including perhaps maybe the next great American tennis star. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. All right, welcome back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Thanks to Anthony Rice for joining us. Yeah, we have just tweeted out again the link there. So if you can help and you're inclined to do so, please do. Certainly always happy to help a former Tiger in need. Jeff Coggins is going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him. About this and a whole lot more. He was talking about school starting up. I also saw randomly that the cell phone policy is back.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me just go back in time while we're just reminiscing here about the old days.
Mm-hmm.
I got my cell phone confiscated literally all the time back when I was at White Station. I mean, I don't know what their cell phone policy was before this, but I guess they had become lax with it. But I mean, damn, that was always the way it was when I was at school. Like if I got caught texting, immediately confiscation and mom had to come get it.
Wow. She had to come to the school and pick it up.
Yes, bro.
It was
like real contraband.
Okay.
Like I was selling like pills or something. But yeah, so, you know, if you were in school from 2011 to 2024, you had it pretty good with the cell phones, man. Does Jake get to take cell phones?
No. What they do is you can bring it to school, so you generally have it on your person, but once you get to the class, there's the sleeve. The sleeve is where the phone goes.
Well,
in other words, education time means phone in the sleeve.
Right. Now, I will say I think that's absolutely, like, just common sense.
Total common sense.
Because these kids will not learn a damn thing if they're on their phones.
I can't do anything when I have the phone.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
Let alone my 17-year-old.
It's really a terrible thing.
I have to self-coach myself on it and regulate myself. And if I'm being honest, I didn't mean to make this about us, but like.
No, I.
It's so addictive doom scroll now, and the logarithms are so tight on those things, and they're the fancy gadgets. I mean, I don't know how kids have them, but they have them now. I mean, mine didn't have one till. Jake got one when he was 14. I'm glad we waited a little bit. I thought that was, I'm not a perfect parent, far from it, but mm-hmm. I thought waiting a little bit was probably a good move, mm-hmm. I think. But no, they're amazing.
I really do my best. And Dom's getting to the age now where he's starting to get curious about what that sound is, you know, when we have a phone going. But I'm like, I know the mistakes and the sins that I committed with Riley.
Yeah.
I don't want to do them again. Now, you know, we've curbed her use and we've, you know, we're policing it in a way that we used to not.
Yeah, you're trying to, you can reel on it, yeah.
But yes, I mean, it's just like, because it's true, like it messes with your mood. You get, these kids get irritable and cranky when they're on the phone, then you take it away.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we were at a restaurant this weekend and we saw it in real time and all three of us witnessed it. And you know the scene, right? There's a group of people, about 10 of them with the whole family, and this little boy is probably about 5 or 6, you know, probably the age of your oldest, right?
Yep.
She's
4,
and
but yeah.
So they took the iPad from this boy, and boy gets it, and he goes bananas.
Yep.
And they had to give it back. They literally weren't going to get through it unless they gave it to him.
I mean, and you know what? Sometimes that's just the way it is.
No, that's the way it was going to be for him. You could tell that they were so far deep with it that there was no turning back in terms of if that 5 or 6-year-old had not had that in his hand, they weren't going to have a dinner. And that's you're pretty far gone there.
That's exactly right. So when you're in that situation and, you know.
You relent.
You don't have a choice.
You're too deep.
Because it's just like with anything else, right? It's just survival.
Yes, yes.
It comes about that, like, as a parent.
Yes.
You know, and I don't want to inconvenience anybody else.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, like, make a big scene here.
Mm-hmm. That they have it and the personal privacy, you know, the security aspects and all that stuff. And a lot of parents raise hell about it. They're like, well, what happens if they come into the classroom and they don't have their phone and there's no security and my kid needs to have it?
Right.
I kind of reject that.
Yeah.
I really do. And I'm kind of crazy in some circles for saying that, but I don't think they need it so bad. We did get through 100 years of elementary school
and we did.
Without having it on our person.
That is true. We sure did.
You know?
But then it's like when you open Pandora's box,
right? We're here.
You can't close it.
Yeah, I think it will help Shelby County and Memphis schools.
I have
not
no doubt.
Having it in their hands while they're doing calculus.
But it will be very like
people will circumvent it. Yeah, people are going to circumvent it, and they're going to, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it's going to be half-assed. There was one other rule I saw that they were imposed. There's several little things I've read about, but hopefully the kids are back today.
That's the big one, right? The cell phone policy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still wearing uniforms.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.